Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into The Porch. It is the VolQuest Baseball Podcast. Apologies for the little bit of a later release here this week because of two midweek games and conflicting schedules. Recording times with me and Luke, who you'll hear from Luke Lipsius, VFL, former Tennessee first baseman, coming up in a matter of about 15 minutes. We had to record late on Thursday, and so I wanted to make sure we at least got it to you Thursday night so you could, you know, listen to us or watch us here on a Friday before the series gets going. But big weekend coming up for Tennessee is at Hotel Illinois, and we'll break down what we saw from the past week and what's to come for Tennessee baseball. Everything happening right now with Tennessee baseball right here on Today's Porch is presented by our friends Spivey King and Spivey LLP. You got a problem, let them find a solution for you. That is TN Trial Lawyers. They specialize in criminal defense, family law, and personal injury. Give them a call for a free consultation at 423-245-4185. Or you can visit them online. That's at SpiveyKingAndSpiveyLLP.com. Couldn't do this show without my friends, Tennessee fans, at SpiveyKingAndSpiveyLLP. All right, so it's been a fun week. It's been a busy week, all right? I mean, you know, blink of an eye, Tennessee's played 14 games so far this season. I've been in every one of them. I've watched every single one of them, and I'm pleasantly surprised with this team so far. Just kind of a big takeaway. Somebody asked me on the board at the General's Quarters on Thursday. They were like, hey, I'm really impressed with the defense so far this year. I know this time last year we were average at best, and I know it's not SEC play yet, but I've been really impressed with the defense. And I concur. I mean, I don't have the numbers. I mean, I guess I could, you know, I've got the PDF stat sheet for Tennessee in 2024, and see Tennessee's committed 9 errors altogether so far. 9 errors. You know, 2 errors by Blake Burke at first base, who I think has improved his defense significantly, significantly. 2 errors by Dean Curley at shortstop. He had one on Wednesday night, but I've seen him make a lot of plays in the middle infield at shortstop as a true freshman. 1 error by Christian Moore. That was at a midweek game. I believe that was UNC Asheville. 1 error by Hunter Ensley. An error by Bradkey Lowry. And an error by Ariel Antigua, who had made his Tennessee debut as a 9th-inning defensive replacement. That's all you're going to see from Ariel in the meantime as he continues to work himself back from a thumb injury. He's not swinging a bat right now. But as Tony said after one of the games this week, they like his defense so much, and he's been fielding here lately, and they didn't want to put him in the ball game for the first time with the game on the line as a defensive sub in the 9th inning. And so they wanted to kind of work him in this week. And, you know, Ariel Antigua has come on. He was too amped up. You know, got a ground ball deep into the hole at short against Southern Indiana on Wednesday night and unloaded and threw it. If the net wasn't there, he would have thrown it into like the 5th row of the stands behind the first base line. He's going to be fine, but obviously wants to get in there and contribute. So my point is, Tennessee's defense I've been really impressed with. Blake Burke is putting in the work and been better at first base. Christian Moore, he has never been known for his defense. And that's why we had a lot of reservations about him starting the season at shortstop. And, you know, over opening weekend, knowing that it likely wasn't going to be a long-term thing with him at shortstop, thought he did fine, proved that he can play it. And you go back over with the emergence of Dean Curley, go back over to second base. He's made a couple of plays that have been really good. I mean, I've been really impressed with Christian Moore and Blake Burke on the right side of the infield. Been impressed with Hunter Ensley in center field. Been impressed with Billy Amick at third. He makes everything look easy. And isn't that funny? You know, the stink of him coming in was, you know, great bat, great in your order, but Clemson couldn't find anywhere to play him. He wasn't good, couldn't play anything. Okay. Tony Vitello is like, I'll take on that problem, whatever. And he's been looking like a gold glover over there at third base, not to mention the SEC player of the week, hitting in a calendar week 5 home runs, I believe. He had 4 home runs in a midweek game and in the weekend series last week, and then he had a home run on Tuesday. Billy is Billy Barrels, and that nickname is catching on, and it is so fitting. And he's been doing a really, really good job so far. So I've been impressed with Tennessee's offense. Kafaris Tears, I think, has been doing great, settling in as the cleanup spot, and whether he's in right or center field, showing defensive versatility. You know, told you about Christian Moore. After a slow start to the season, Dalton Bargo's come on in his opportunities, and he's swinging a pretty good bat. Billy Amick's been great. I think Dylan Dreiling has been really good, kind of flying under the radar a little bit. But I think he's been really good. He's made some plays in the outfield. Robin Villeneuve, I think, has been awesome. Love his bat in the order and his ability to play the corner outfield spot, at least left field right now. So I've been really impressed with Tennessee so far this year, knowing that there's going to be questions in the rotation. Tony Vitello, even before the injury to AJ Russell, said continuously, like, hey, you know, it's our job. And I was talking to somebody the other day, like, I hope Tony, and I hope really just coaches in general, know that we as quote unquote media, we often know the answers to some of the questions that we ask, but we have to get it on the record so that we can report it. And so, like, we ask a lot of the same questions, but we got to ask about, you know, going into the season, had to ask about rotation, had to ask about shortstop continuously. And Tony Vitello would continuously say, like, hey, we're not going to have those answers until, you know, hopefully SEC play. If not SEC play, kind of midway through. Like, and we might just kind of figure it out as the year goes on. It's not unlikely to have kind of a figure it out TBD approach on Sunday for college baseball. Tennessee fans have been so blessed and so really so spoiled the last couple of years with three ready-to-go starters. And even, you know, starter four and five in the bullpen that can come in. Tennessee has starter four or five in the bullpen right now, four, five, six in the bullpen right now, and Causey, Steen, and Xander, and seven, whichever, you know, freshman you don't want to, you know, throw in there, Schaefer and Dallas. And so you have those options now, but you're still trying to figure out which way you want to do game number three. And so that's still going to be a work in progress. It's TBD for Tennessee game three this weekend. Schaefer got the start last Monday. Didn't have a good second inning, kind of lost control. That home plate umpire wasn't good, but Schaefer lost control there in the third inning or in the second inning. He only pitched one batter on Wednesday, so he's can be ready to go to start Sunday. So, you know, we'll see if that's the case. Xander had a career night on Wednesday, got a true midweek start. It was great to see. Went 5 2/3, 10 strikeouts, career highs. Awesome stuff for Xander. So I would say he's probably unavailable to. I would imagine he's unavailable to pitch this weekend, but we'll see, because he went about 79 pitches, I think. But it's going to be A.J. Causey and Drew Beam to start things out, and it worked out pretty well last weekend. So as far as A.J. Russell, he's been throwing a little bit. Again, they're going to be, and Tony said this twice now already, or three times really. He's like, hey, people want to be critical of me for being too cautious. That's fine, but we are going to be safe, better safe than sorry right now. We're going to be overly cautious. It's like Dean Curley asked about him after the Sunday game. They said he was fine, probably wouldn't play on Tuesday, but that's my call. That was Tony Vitello after the Albany game that Sunday a couple weeks ago. And sure enough, he didn't play on that Tuesday, but he was back in lineup on Friday. Chris Stamos, he said that he's ready to roll. We'll see if he kind of comes back in. I was told earlier in the week that he'll be close for this weekend. But again, because of the approach from Tony Vitello, wouldn't shock me whatsoever if Chris Stamos doesn't pitch this weekend, because they just want to be abundantly clear than ready to roll that he's going to be good for Alabama. And so that wouldn't shock me, but Tony Vitello said Wednesday night that he's ready. And so, you know, we'll see what happens there. I think AJ Russell's fine. Again, he's throwing a little bit. They're being overly cautious. He's not going to pitch this weekend, and we'll see if he can make it back in some capacity for the start of SEC play, but long-term he's fine. They're just, again, being cautious there. I already talked about Ariel Antigua, talked about Chris Stamos. I mean, pretty much everybody in terms of the injury fronts in a pretty decent spot right now. But overall, Blake Burke is swinging such a good bat right now. It's non-conference play. I get it. I see the stats too, guys. I know Blake Burke was great in non-conference play. 10 home runs, then he hit, like, you know, whatever the case was in SEC play last year. And the stats weren't good. But Blake Burke has turned it around. He's hitting 340 right now. 340. And he's a doubles machine. He's got eight doubles leading Tennessee easily with eight doubles on the season. His approach has changed. and he looks more confident and relaxed in the batter's box, and that's great to see. So Blake Burke has had a fantastic week. Billy Amick, as I've already mentioned, has had a fantastic week. Dean Curley, I'm going to ask Luke about this here in a moment. I mean, what the heck? Like, Dean Curley on Tuesday night against Kansas State, 3 home runs, including a grand slam, ties with 5 other guys with the most home runs in program history. His 9 RBI is a freshman record at Tennessee. It's 1 RBI shy of the Tennessee record. I believe Trey Lipscomb had that a couple years ago. What a performance from Dean Curley, and everybody, hashtag the brain trust, what I call us up there. Everybody was thinking that home run or that ball was gone in the ninth inning. His last AB was caught at the warning track. I understand the announcer on the SEC Network Plus is getting a lot of flack because he kind of had that home run call. I've been in his shoes before as a play-by-play guy on radio or TV or whatever, and you kind of have that call, and then it's like, oh, and it dies at the warning track. I've been there. I know it's tough, but I thought it was gone. Sam thought it was gone sitting third row behind the Tennessee dugout. You know, I mean, everybody, just because it was that type of night for Dean Curley, who was just phenomenal in the ball game. So he was great. But I'll tell you this, baseball humbles you in a hurry. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know he struck out a couple of times. I believe he was over 3, 0 for 4, and had an error in the field on Wednesday. Man, baseball, football, in my opinion, teaches you the most about life. But again, baseball is every single day. Tony Vitello talks about a professional approach every single day. You have to come to the yard, ready to roll. Attitude, leadership, all that type of stuff. Football, you get knocked down, you've got to stand back up to continue to play. Baseball, it humbles you in the most way. Career day on Tuesday, and then an 0 for a couple of strikeouts and a costly error on Wednesday. That's baseball, but tell you what, man, Dean Curley is fantastic. He is absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to see how he performs in SEC play. What a performance from Dean Curley on Tuesday. Thought that was for a phenomenal. Let's see here. Southern Indiana, a little bit of a close call on Wednesday. And I thought, well, the home plate umpire, Tony Vitello, was so not happy about him after the game. And I get it. It was the biggest zone that I've seen this year. But I will say this. I mean, for the most part, it was pretty consistent. What he was calling a strike that was well inside to right-handed hitters was a strike all night. What he was calling outside on the other black, you know, that was a ball that was technically, according to the TrackMan, a ball, was a strike all night. He was consistent with it. And I think that kind of messed with the approach of the Tennessee hitters at the plate on Wednesday night. But overall, it wasn't the best approach. And I feel like Tony kind of said that after the game. You had the home plate umpire you kind of throw in there. But in the end, that's baseball. Everybody was hyped up about this week's game against Kansas State because that Kansas State team had a real case to be a regional team last year. And the reason they're here on a Tuesday night is try to increase their RPI total so they're not in that position like they were in last year. Everybody was kind of hyped up for that game, and Tennessee goes on and just beats the brakes off the Wildcats 15-5. And then everybody's like, oh, Southern Indiana, run rule, thank God. Oh, there's a basketball game. It's going to be me, Sean, Jack, and nobody else. I mean, it's kind of one of those days, you know, up in the press box, and it's like, oh, why am I even going to this game? Tennessee's just going to – it's going to be a 3-hour game. Tennessee's going to score 25 runs. It's going to take forever. And it's 3-2, or 2-1, excuse me. That's baseball. High point the last week. It's 3-2. I mean, that is baseball. It's one of those games that just wasn't going to be high scoring, and you kind of had to will yourself to victory, and that's what Tony Vitello was talking about with Kirby Cannell, who pitched 3 innings. What? Turning back the clock, time turner, Harry Potter style for Kirby Cannell. I am a big-time nerd, if you didn't know that. You just found out. Going back to 2021, where he pitched 4 innings against Campbell in a regional, and he pitched 4 1/3 against Baylor earlier in that year. Kirby Cannell throwing 36 pitches, I believe, or 37 pitches, in 3 innings. That was great to see. Again, I don't know if I knew that he could do that last year, knowing that he's done it before in his career, but there was a reason why he's coming in as a true specialist pitching to one batter or maybe just one half inning. Good to see that he could do that, but he kind of willed Tennessee to a win. A couple of errors late in that ball game, tying run on the base pass, he was fine. Xander Seacrest, just the role that he's had for Tennessee, being a swing man this year, starting weekends, starting midweeks, coming in out of the pen. For him to get a true start, 10 strikeouts, career highs and all that, man, I'm so happy. Those two guys in particular, they're fan favorites, they're media favorites. Really, really appreciate those two guys. So happy for those two guys. It was awesome to see, and it was good for Tennessee. So that's baseball. I wouldn't read anything into old Tennessee only beat, you know, Southern Indiana by a run. It's a Wednesday game. It's game two of a long week is what it is. And you come off an offensive explosion the night before. Just kind of is what it is. Lastly, I will look into Illinois here before we get into Luke Lipsius coming up here in a matter of moments. Illinois, it's fine. It was not a good team last year. It had three players voted on as the, selected as the players to watch in the Big Ten coming into the year. You got Dan Hartlib. He's been there for 18 years. They're fine so far. They're 5-6 on the season. They're coming off a 12-6 win over Michigan State. They can certainly beat you if you don't bring your bat and glove to the yard. At the time of this recording, I don't have the projected lineup for the projected weekend rotation for Illinois, but I can tell you that Jack Crowder was kind of the Friday night guy coming into the season after being more of a bullpen guy the year before. D1 Baseball was high on Jack Crowder. So far this season, it's not been looking good. He's got a 7.07 ERA and a 0-0 record. Logan Tabling is a guy that has been more of a bullpen arm in recent memory. Still is. Three appearances on the year, two starts. But he's been better. 5.40 ERA, 0-1 record. Other guys who have gotten some starts for Illinois this season, Cooper Owens, Regan Hall, Sam Reed, all those are left-handed pitchers with ERAs of 2.31, 4.50, and 8.71. Again, all these in like three or four appearances. Jake Schwartz is a guy that's a righty. He also has a save on the year, but he's made two starts, four appearances, 3.18 ERA on the year. He's pretty solid. But, I mean, the pitching is kind of blah. But, again, you are Power 5, playing in the Big Ten, you know, playing baseball at this level. If you don't bring a good approach to the plate, you know, they can come and get you. The bats in the order, kind of been hot and cold a little bit. Camden Janik is leading the squad. He's the DH. He can catch a little bit, 330 average, leading the team with 14 hits. Cal Heza, the shortstop, is hitting over 300 at 302. First baseman Drake Westcott, who was one of the better players on this team last year, he leads the team with four home runs, hitting 273 at the plate. Colton Quagliano, I believe is how you say his name, driven at a team high 14 runs, but hitting only 267 at the plate, which isn't horrible, but you want that average to be a little bit higher. One of the better players on last year's squad is really struggling this year, and he was one of those players to watch for the Big Ten coming into the season. That's outfielder Ryan Moorman, and it's not been good so far. He's hitting 185, four RBI, two home runs in eight games, seven starts. But he's a guy to obviously look out for because he's a guy that's done a lot throughout his career for Illinois. It's a team that doesn't run a lot. They've attempted four stolen bases on the year, only one successfully. So that's something, for the most part, that you hope Tennessee will not have to worry about this weekend. But that's kind of the look at Illinois. Without further ado, let me give some thanks to our friends at Spivey King and Spivey LLP, and then we'll get going. We'll get going with Luke Lipsius. We'll talk a lot about what he saw. I told you what I thought. Let's hear from Luke on a lot of things that I talked about and kind of what he thinks this team is right now. That's coming up next here in just a moment as we continue on with The Porch. VFL Luke Lipsius is coming up next. But first, thank you as always to our friends at Spivey King and Spivey LLP. And maybe you'll be in a situation where you need help and you can be thanking them as well. If that situation occurs, I encourage you to check out Spivey King and Spivey LLP. Problem? Let them find a solution for you, TN Trial Lawyers. They specialize in criminal defense, family law, and personal injury. Examples of that can be DUI, homicide, assault, divorce, custody, alimony, parental rights, also personal injuries such as car wrecks and accidents. Over 80 years of combined experience, Spivey King and Spivey LLP provides representation throughout the states and federal courts of Northeast Tennessee. The firm has a vast amount of trial experience. Practice has been in place for 44 years with this partnership forming in 2012, while also having partners who are energized and ready for today's modern legal demands. Practicing primarily in Northeast Tennessee, the Tri-Cities of Sullivan County, as well as Hawkins County, Washington County, and surrounding areas, the firm has won multiple awards who have been rated by super lawyers, and they have real trial experience. Whether you're injured in a car accident, need a divorce, help with custody of your children, or have been accused of a crime, Spivey King and Spivey LLP is here to help you. Go see them in person. That address, business address, 142 Cherokee Street, Kingsport, Tennessee. Pick up the phone and dial this number for a free consultation. That is 423 423- 215-415-4185 or visit them online at SpivyKingAndSpivyLLP.com. SpivyKingAndSpivyLLP.com. Go check them out today. Big thanks to our friends, Spivey King and Spivey LLP.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Luke, before we talk Tennessee baseball, the Illinois series coming up, everything that we have on the docket, I do want to ask you about your brother. Some big news. You got a trade from the Tigers to the LA Dodgers, VFL, and your brother, Andre Lipsius, on the move and trading in his winter coat for some sunglasses. What do you think about this move, man, and what this means for your brother?
Well, you know, first off, when it happened, you know, it's a lot of scaredness, you know, worry. You never know what's going to happen because when you get DFA'd, it is so out of your control that you're kind of just waiting around. And so, you know, you never want to see your brother lose his job for a little bit. But then I think it was two, three days ago, whenever it was, we got the news. He said, yeah, by the way, guys, I'm going to the Dodgers. And I'm sitting there thinking like, holy moly, the Dodgers? Because, you know, the way he explained it to me, DFA, you know, you get traded for someone, then you get picked up on waivers, it goes to like a bad team, whatever. But when he said the Dodgers, I was like, holy moly, you're telling me you're going to be with teammates with Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, like, and it's a 40-man position that he's on. So he is legitimately teammates with all these big names. So extremely excited for him. I think the Dodgers are going to do a really, really good job at developing him. You know, more than he already is. You know, he's already really, really polished, but do a really good job at developing him. I think LA is much better than Detroit, minus the taxes and stuff. But yeah, it's going to be a really good move for him, and I'm just excited to see him. You know, he had two hits yesterday. He's starting at third tonight, so it'll be a fun time.
Yeah, no doubt, and just really, really cool when you see former, you know, Tennessee players go on and obviously, you know, do big things in professional sports, but, you know, make it to the show. And like you said, you know, going again, I'm a Braves fan. I don't have much love for the Dodgers, but I recognize greatness in Shohei and, you know, yeah, former Brave Freddie Freeman and Mookie and some of those other guys you mentioned. It's a big deal. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And I know you are as well. Let's talk a little Tennessee baseball, man. 14 games into the season. Again, it's a similar schedule that you've, you know, done here several times at Tennessee. You have a tough opening weekend, then you come back and you know, the competition's not great and you play for a couple weeks and you have a you know, a good team that comes in here and there before you get into SEC play. But, you know, Tennessee's 13-1, have won 12 straight games. Kind of your overall thoughts from what you've seen from the team so far this year?
Yeah, so I think first off, they've taken care of business. You know, you lose one extra inning game in your first series in Arlington, which is a crazy series to open up at. And then you literally do what you need to do, which is win every other ball game besides that one. That's what you want to see out of the – it's almost – a lot of people in the locker room refer to it as preseason because, you know, like conference is when things really kick into gear. But, you know, pre-conference, what I loved about this past weekend specifically is we saw – the Tennessee offense basically firing on all cylinders. That was as clean of an offensive series overall that I've seen out of them this year, which is really, really good. And they're doing it at the right time heading into SEC play. I think their pitching has been good. I will say, I don't know what Tony V is doing with Snead, but, you know, that's kind of personal opinion. But, yeah, other than that, you know, pitchers pitching well, I think. We'll see Russell back. I don't know if he's going Friday. Either way, you should be ready for SEC. We're going to be, you know, as close to full strength at this point that we should be, which is a really good thing. But yeah, so far in the season, they've just done what they needed to do.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier in the show, AJ Russell, you weren't on, so I'm not blaming you. AJ Russell is going to be out this weekend, but as you said, he should be, gosh, if he's not back next weekend, he is, you know, banging down the door. He's close. Mm-hmm. And Chris Stamos is close. Tony said he was ready the other day. And outside of that, Tennessee's in a pretty good spot. Ariel's playing defense. He can't swing a bat right now. But, yeah, Tennessee's handling business. I like the way you phrased that. Do want to ask you about, you know, some of these this is one of the bigger kind of questions we're talking about right now. You mentioned Snead a moment ago, and there's still not been a third starter that's kind of revealed himself to this point in the season. And Tony said that it would take weeks, and you might not really have that guy ever kind of emerge. They might just kind of be playing it by ear, which is common in the college game. I'm under the impression that I think for Tennessee to be as dangerous as it needs to be, Causey and Snead need to stay in the bullpen. Even though both those guys could probably start and excel in that regard, and Causey did last weekend, he's going to start again tomorrow. What are your thoughts on that and kind of handling those type of pitchers? I think Tennessee would like to keep him in the pen too, but maybe down the line there might not be a choice. Maybe one of those guys has to throw on Sundays.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're talking ideal situations here, which beginning of the season, even, you know, middle of the season, things aren't ideal. And so I don't know what Tony's plan is, because you'd think that thinking long-term, Snead is a bullpen guy, either long relief or just straight closer. He's proven that he can throw. I mean, he has the most wins and he's tied for the most saves on the team. So like he's performing. But then you see him throwing, you know, 5-6 innings in the midweeks. And I guess it's different because it's the double midweek. But still, it's like, what are we doing here, Tony V? Like, this guy needs to be pitching on the weekends in, we'll call it, you know, more bigger situations to prepare him for what you would think would be a reliever role, reliever closer role in the SEC. So that's the one thing I don't understand. As far as Causey starting, I think it just shows his versatility. But like you said, there's still not a real Sunday starter, and I think they do want one of the younger guys to step up, you know, one of the younger lefties, ideally, of course. But like you said, Stamos is coming back, you know, Matthew Dallas, he's not going to get much pitching time. He keeps walking guys. So it's just one of those things where you do what you can with what you have right now. And, you know, right now they got another piece of golden Causey. He looked awesome last Friday. I mean, absolutely disgusting. So once Russell comes back, I would expect to see Causey at least start one series on Sunday. But yeah, once they develop some more confidence in the younger guys, and hopefully even throw a lefty in there, because I mean, you could say Xander as well. But even when he got the opportunity to throw on a weekend, start on a weekend, only did all right, you know. And then he comes back, he has a performance of his career on the midweek. So it's all up in the air. I would expect this weekend we're going to see another bullpen day on Sunday. But down the road, you know, it's going to be weird. We'll see what Tony B wants to do.
Yep. Baseball teams evolve as the year goes on. The Tennessee team evolved a lot as the year went on last year, and it made it to Omaha. And so at least I'm telling myself and I'm telling people that I talk to, like, it's okay not to have all the answers right now, because mm-hmm. they might reveal themselves down the line. And even if you're bullpenning Sundays as kind of your game plan, I mean, you got a couple of nice options that can go in there and throw you two innings, boom, you look up, you're in the eighth inning, you know, and mm-hmm. It's a pretty good situation to be in. Dean Curley did something that no freshman in Tennessee baseball has ever done. He drove in 9 runs. I know you were on the team when I believe Trey Lipscomb had a 10 RBI game. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Dean Curley, the first freshman ever to drive in 9. He joins 5 other guys, including a former teammate of yours as well, Evan Russell, as guys that has hit 3 home runs in a game. He was one RBI shy of the RBI record for a single game. Point is, he was phenomenal on Tuesday against Kansas State. And he was inches away from homering mm-hmm. for the 4th time. Everybody in the press box stood up because we thought it was gone. I mean, have you ever seen, I mean, I guess you have seen a performance like that in Trey Lipscomb, Evan Russell, but from a true freshman, again, at that point in time, I think he had 8 hits on the year, 6 home runs, 1 triple, and then 1 single. I mean, it's phenomenal what he's done to kind of start his career. Slugging percentages through the roof.
Oh yeah. Well, no, it's, you just don't see that. You know, he's, for one, he's huge. For two, he's playing like he's been in the league for like 3 years. It's unbelievable. Let's not forget that his first AB back in whatever it was 2 weeks was a homer. Like on that Friday night, it's a homer. But that guy can just rake. Seeing a freshman do that is just nothing you ever expect. And I know he's kind of outshadowed by that Georgia Tech freshman, but still, like, it's not the norm. And that, it's funny, me and my buddy, or Peter K, we were texting that whole time as like the innings went on. The first set of texts were like, okay, like, we got a score. It was in the seventh or in the sixth, bottom of the sixth. We're like, okay, we got to score more. Got to hit around, blah, blah, blah. We don't hit around. They get up, they get that third out, and we're like, holy moly, we're playing another inning, because we thought maybe a run rule.
Yeah.
And then from then on, it was like, Tony V, don't pinch hit, don't pinch hit, don't pinch hit. And then, of course, Dean walks up to the plate. He literally is a foot away. I think if it weren't for that pesky cross breeze that Lindsey Nelson has, he would have had his fourth. But yeah, it was just so fun to watch. And, you know, he is definitely on the map now, not just for other coaches, but for, you know, social media and all this stuff.
It was fun to watch, that's for sure. And it's been fun to watch him play defense too. Baseball will humble you, as I know you're aware. Mm-hmm. You have that career game, and then the next night against a team that's nowhere close as being as good as Kansas State, and you go over a couple strikeouts, have an error in the field. It'll humble you in a hurry, but he's going to be just fine. I do want to talk about that Southern Indiana game, because everybody was talking about Kansas State should have been a regional team last year, returning a lot. It's going to be a really, really great midweek challenge. And there for a minute, I mean, they jumped out to a 2-0 lead, but Tennessee came back and just demolished them 15-5. You come back on the second day, second midweek game. I don't want to say they were sleepwalking, because I don't think that was really it. I think the approaches were a little skewed at the plate, because the home plate umpire, the zone was so wide. Mm-hmm. But overall, you played a really close game, and you won 2-1, I think. What was your takeaway from that game? Because, again, going into the week, you would say, okay, if Tennessee won 2-1 against Kansas State, all right, they're gonna win 15-5 against Southern Indiana. But it was kind of roles were reversed there.
Yeah, you know, I will say, just playing baseball, it's so hard to win by 10 every single game.
Yeah.
You know, and so
you guys did it. Come on.
Well, you know, we won by 20. No, at some point, you know, you do see, like, it catches up to you. They went five game week, 4 game week, another 5 game week. You can just see some fatigue. You know, maybe they were thinking about Illinois, maybe they were thinking about SEC play, but it all manifested into just a funky game. That first lefty that they had throwing looked like he was keeping everyone off guard. It was just a funky game. And it happens. It really does happen. You know, it's one of those things, like, it's hard for everyone to be off at once, but sometimes that's just what it is. You know, mm-hmm. It's not just one person having a weird game across the board is having a weird game. Thank God for Simo for doing what he does. And then I think Bargo had a nice RBI too. So
yep.
The point is, it was a gritty midweek win. And, you know, as far as wins go, that's the best way to do it. And also kind of, backpacking off the point made earlier, it will humble you. So, you know, the next few midweeks, I would expect to see a little bit more pedal to the metal, as opposed to maybe just laying off and kind of going through the motions. But even so, you know, a win is a win, especially a 2-1 win heading into a couple big weekend series. It's just another thing to help prepare you for what comes next.
You brought him up earlier, Xander Seacrest, talking about how he had the game of his life, and I talked about it earlier on the show. And I was saying, like, you know, he and Kirby Cannell, who came in and threw three innings, you know, those two guys are fan favorites, and you know, us in the media, we enjoy them because they're good to us. They talk to us, and seeing both those guys go out and do what they did, I mean, that was really, really cool on Wednesday. I mean, you're really happy for them. You already spoke on Xander a little bit, but for Kirby, he's done this before. He went four innings against Campbell back in the regional play in 2022. I think he pitched 4 1/3 against Baylor. But really, since then, he's been an at-bat or an inning-type guy. He goes three innings last night, and I think that's great because, again, it's almost like for a minute it's like, well, can he go more than 15 pitches? And then last night he kind of proved that he did. And I think Tony's going to throw the crap out of him this year, and I'm all for it because, again, it's another one of those looks in the bullpen that you got to be prepared for the second or third time around.
Well, yeah, so it's so funny because he had that stellar 2022. He had a really stellar 2021. And so you're like, this guy is going to be a mainstay in the bullpen and do well. But for whatever reason, that 2023 season, I don't know, maybe his shoulder was getting crunchy or something funky was happening. His velo was a little down. But you saw him transition into this literal one batter role. And, you know, as a player, like I understand it to a point. But when you got a guy that is known for throwing strikes, who has proven himself, it's just weird to see. And so I am so happy for him that he is back into this multi-inning role. He's actually like a real reliever as opposed to that lefty-on-lefty one-batter guy. And I do think that we'll see a lot of him down the road because, again, so much trust in him. His stuff was looking really good this season. But I am really happy that he's throwing multiple innings.
Yeah, it was great to see for sure. A couple more questions. I want to combo this one. Billy Amick, SEC Player of the Week. I think in the span of 7 days, Tuesday, the weekend, and then the other Tuesday, he hit 5 home runs. Mm-hmm. Just killing it. And he's playing good defense as well. And then Burke, man. I mean, don't look now. Burke's hitting 340. He's a double mm-hmm. machine. Line drives down the left field line. He's going oppo, pulling a couple through the right side the other night. He's got 8 doubles. Those two guys, literally, I mean, and I understand it's non-conference, and conference is where Burke struggled at times last year. You got to translate it. But, I mean, you're looking at, like, literally a 1-2 Bash Brothers in the making right there, 2-3 in the order.
So I literally wrote a note down in my phone that said, this is such a scary top of the lineup. And I think, objectively, it might be one of the best 1-4 that we've seen in a long time. I think it even is better than that 2022 team that we had because you got Simo starting off, who's got both power, speed, and just hit ability. And then you got literally the potential for 60 homers between Burke, Billy, and Tears. You know, so like it's what Billy's doing, I think everyone kind of expected just because he is that raw of a hitter. Burke this past weekend, we saw what a confident and comfortable Burke looked like. Finally, you know, 3 homers, he's just smashing balls around the field. And, of course, Tears, he's just been on a roll all season. I think he's still above 400, which is hard to do regardless. But that top of the lineup is going to strike fear into pitchers all around. And then, of course, you got the back half, which isn't too bad at all with Peebles, Villanueva, Bargo's coming around too. So, like, just what Billy and Burke have in that 2-3 spot and then also – sandwiched in between Moore and Tears, it is so scary. I can't wait to see what they do going forward.
Hey, there's a couple of people that wanted me to give you a hard time because I don't remember you saying this, but I kind of do. I think it was 2 or 3 podcasts ago. You made the comment about something. It was you were fast. Burke is not fast. Since then, Burke has stolen 3 bags. And he's leading the team, which is not saying much because there's not been too many runners this year. But he's leading the team with 3 stolen bases this year. He must have heard what you said, man, and said challenge accepted.
Well, yeah, you know, haters are our greatest motivators. So I was just doing what I could to get the wheels rolling on him. But, yeah, you know, it's just another thing to add to his game. I know Tony V., Elander, you know, as we've gotten more power, the stolen bases have gone kind of down. But still, like, if Burke can steal bags when nobody's expecting it, putting him on second rather than first, extremely good for the offense. So we'll see. If he has more than 14 stolen bags and breaks my home run record, I might be a sad guy.
All right, man, last thing. Somebody was asking me about this on our website the other day, and I sat down and thought about it. I'm like, well, yeah, there's a point. You know, 9 errors so far through 14 games. You know, it's not a spectacular number, but it's a pretty decent number. I mean, especially if you compare, you know, this team to maybe last year's team where there were some defensive struggles at times. Feels like this is a pretty solid defensive team. I've made a comment before. I think Blake Burke and Christian Moore have really, really worked on the defensive end, and that's showing right now. Hunter Ensley in center field's made a couple of plays. Drawing in left field's made a couple of plays. Billy Amick at third base is, you know, killing it. Kovacs Tier is able to play center and right field. What have you seen from this team defensively? I feel like this is a – they got to carry it into SEC play, of course, but I feel like this is an improved defensive baseball team.
Yeah, much improved. And I think it all starts with Burke. You know, if you got a first baseman that you can completely trust is going to catch all the balls, do all that, you got to worry about it, great. Simo, he has, I think, shattered my expectations because I knew he was good playing second, but just like he's almost like a Robinson Cano out there, just playing with swagger, like making everything look easy. I love it. Dean, I think what kind of highlights what he's done is that one play in the hole where he backhanded and threw it about 150 feet on the line, got the guy in the midweek. I mean, he's just been so solid dynamic too. Like he comes in with the big bat, but then he is making every single play and catching every ball that comes to him. So as far as the infield goes, they're going to be stacking their days. And that's what you want to see because they're the first line of defense. I think they're going to be just fine and very much improved. And then as far as the outfield goes, you know, you expect them to make the routine plays, but I swear it's like every game they make a diving play.
Yeah.
So again, like you got a bunch of speed in the outfield. I really, really want to see KT hose a guy. you know, it's one of those things where if you're hitting well, you're pitching well, and you're playing defense, you know, you're going to win a lot of ball games.
No doubt. Tennessee's won a lot of ball games so far. They got three against Illinois coming up this weekend, a midweek. And then, man, we blinked and SEC play is here. So we're moving right along. Luke, appreciate it as always, man. And I'm excited to see what we talk about next week heading into SEC play.
Of course, it's fun times right now.
Awesome stuff as always from our buddy Luke Lipsius here joining us on the porch every single week, usually on a Thursday before we head on into the weekend. This weekend is Tennessee and Illinois, and I'll be there every single game. You can follow along the game thread. I'll have four takes after the game, how it happened, what Tony Vitello said, anything and everything from Tennessee this weekend you can catch at volquest.com. Thank you guys so much for being here, and enjoy hanging out and interacting with you guys on the Journal's Quarters. We'll see what this weekend brings. It's Tennessee and Illinois, and I can't wait to hear what Luke has to say about it on next week's Porch. This is volquest.com.